Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Getting a lot of support about the punchable faces in the AT&T commercials for OKC. Gus and Katie, thank you, Sean. I feel the same way about the commercial, and I want to punch them all in their faces. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Houston texts in. Houston, that's the name of the listener, Houston. Although I'm sure the city at large feels the same way. Sean, trust me, the What a Pro Wants, What a Pro Needs commercial is beyond nauseating.
I've seen the commercial, but I've never like really paid attention to it. Yeah. I try to mute the commercials as much as possible these days. But then he brought that up, and I remember that one. I remember that one because it cuts through the noise.
Yes.
As you're trying to do something else during a commercial break, that it cuts through the noise in a bad way. Very, very cringy. Yeah.
Yes, cringy. Reggie,
even if it was trying to be cringy, but it's so cringy that even the ironic cringiness is cringy.
Yeah, yes. The whole thing is just bad. Yeah, no. Shout out to our colleague and friend Reggie Atatula, who immediately after that segment texted me all caps, "What a pro wants, what a pro needs." Reggie said he disagreed with almost all my takes in that segment, but found the segment 10 out of 10 enjoyable because he disagreed.
I was a bad co-host in that segment because I disagreed with you as well. I like that Reginald disagreed with you on a lot of them too.
Five reasons I hate you, I don't mind. Like the petty cast, though, you got to make sure you're petty in the petty cast. Yeah, that's the big thing.
You got to go full bore into
tomorrow.
If anything,
at 8 o'clock. Yeah.
If anything, we got to be sure that we do a better job of you and I kind of finding common ground on the things that we hate about Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
For five reasons I hate you.
Yep. We've got months to figure that out. So we'll be good. So appreciate all the texts, even the one saying, "Pendergast, aren't you bald? What would you wear on your head to keep the sweat out of your eyes?" I don't wear a headband. I just don't like the way it feels. I work out quite a bit, and I just use like my sleeve or my t-shirt to wipe the sweat out of my eyes. Like,
that was a hard one for me to get with though too, because it is, whether you're bald or not, if you're a heavy sweater, the headband's nice. Headband makes a big difference.
I think you look stupid. That's all. That's all. I mean, you can tell me.
I'd love to see you as a sniper in the military. You're taking aim on the most dangerous terrorists in the world, but you can't see clearly because you refuse to wear either a headband or a do-rag or something.
If I'm a sniper in the military, sweat in my eyes is the least of your worries as an American.
the heavy breathing from having gotten in position would be your biggest.
The bad shooting, all those
scopes
things.
Just bouncing up and down as you eat.
Yeah, sweat's the
I had
least.
To walk a long way.
I got a better chance of just sweat in my eyes just shooting randomly than having a headband on. All right, here was Sham Charania yesterday. The Kevin Durant deal comes together late Sunday morning. Here was Sham Charania of ESPN talking about how the deal came together.
His two preferred destinations, the Houston Rockets and the Miami Heat, essentially competing against each other, bidding on making Kevin Durant deals. And the Rockets, at the end of the day, made the best offer with Jalen Green, a prolific scorer, Dylan Brooks, 3-and-D, tough player, but most importantly, the number 10 overall pick. And why is that important? The NBA draft is on Wednesday in New York, and so it was very important for them to get this deal done before that point. But remember back at the NBA trade deadline, Kevin Durant was blindsided when he was included in any conversation around the league. Now he had some level of driver's seat position because he was in the last year of his deal, an expiring contract. But listen, around the league, make no mistake, the Houston Rockets made this trade because they are in win-now mode. They want to go win a championship.
All right.
Yeah.
Win-now.
It makes 100% sense. And they had a wealth of picks. They don't want to give all of them up, but losing a number 10 this year is, if anything, it makes it a lot simpler to operate where you're already trying to shoehorn so many young players into getting more time on the court. There is an overall part of me that is starting to feel a little bit of a first round, I feel like we're missing out. because the Texans, more times than not, don't have a first round
pick. Oh, you're talking about the draft.
In the city of Houston itself. The Texans have traded out the last couple years. They didn't have first round picks forever because of the Laremy Tunsil trade and whatnot.
Dude, there's, for me, there is way more, it's a good point, there's way more FOMO for the NFL draft when there's no first round pick than there is the NBA draft. Like, I'm at a stage now, and I watch a fair amount of college basketball, and I still follow the draft to a degree, but the NFL draft, like just the build up to it for a few months, and I watch way more college football than I watch college basketball. I'll be fine later this week. It would have been fun to have a pick just because you start to think about how the guy's going to fit in. And last year was fun because they got Reed Shepard with the third overall pick. That was cool. But yeah, like in the NBA, dude, the NBA is doing a two-night draft now. They're doing the first round on one night and the second round on another night. And if you wonder how the NBA front offices value second-round picks, the Rockets just threw five of them into a Kevin Durant deal just to get Brian Gregory off the phone. You're like, fine, here's five second-round picks. That is going to be what a trash night of sports watching the second round of the NBA draft.
The hardcores will love it. It does give you time to really take time. There's going to be a bunch of trades, you know, between the first round and the second round. So I feel like for the diehards, it'll be welcome to have that time to breathe between the first and second round.
I'm glad you brought up the trades too, though. The NBA does this thing like this. Kevin Durant trade is not executed. It's only been agreed to because they have to wait till July 6th to actually do the deal.
Yeah.
The draft happens this week. There are going to be guys that get drafted. Whoever gets drafted with the 10th pick is going to put on a Rockets hat. When we all know that pick's going to Phoenix, I think it's the dumbest thing ever. It's so stupid.
As far as like the whole city of Houston and how we view the first round pick now is baseball. Yeah. And especially now where the Rockets have been selecting, the Astros have been selecting forever, it's not as big a deal. But in football, it's not like they haven't had first round picks. It's just in four of the last 6 years, they haven't had a first round pick. But then they have double first round picks in two of those 6 years.
All right, let's get to that was Shams. Let's get to Kendrick Perkins. This is my favorite one out of all the people who've commented on the deal, the Kevin Durant to the Rockets deal. Here's Kendrick Perkins on last night's NBA Finals coverage with Steve. The other voices you're going to hear are Malika Andrews is the host, and then Stephen A. Smith and Bob Myers, the former GM of the Warriors, are on the set with Kendrick Perkins.
This may sound country and foreign to y'all, but this is the H-Town flavor, right? Hey, man, say, man, Kevin Durant is on the way to H-Town, man. We talking about Bun B firing up to getting the Trill Burgers ready. Right. Little Kiki Paul Wall Slim Thug pulling out the slab with the Super Poker rims, popping the trunk with the KD lights. See, it's foreign to you, but H-Town know what I'm talking about.
You know, I don't know if that's where you live, but you better know it. Represent.
You're welcoming Kevin Durant, and now you're legit title contenders.
Legit
title contenders. Yes, they struggled in the half court set. They also struggled with three-point shooting. Right. Now you've got KD. Amen Thompson is still there. Torrey Eason. The reason I bring up those two guys is because they bring what you need in today's game when we're witnessing right now in the NBA Finals, and that's elite perimeter defense.
I think my favorite part of that in re-listening to it is Amen Thompson.
I think Kendrick, I really enjoyed that, and I think that largely, it's funny, Kendrick Perkins and then Marcus Spears. I know he's from Louisiana, but he's got kind of a bent towards here. I don't know if he has a place here or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
But those guys are both a little bit of like Houston homers in a way.
Yeah.
Marcus Spears, I've just always noticed that he really sticks up for the Texans a lot of the time and watches the games more closely, even in the bad years, than others do.
Yeah.
I like having big, husky, likable, like former athletes sticking up for Houston.
I do
in a
too.
Way that just you can't get from another guy the same way you can from Kendrick Perkins or Marcus Spears.
That aren't overly serious, that don't take themselves too seriously. But
yeah,
if there were scrap, they would be ready to go.
They're giving it the real man vibe to it. That's what it is. It's a real man vibe and a guy that's actually paying attention type of
I agree. So that's Kendrick Perkins. All right, I don't know how to feel about this one. Isaiah Thomas, arguably the worst general manager in the history of basketball. How he keeps getting jobs is beyond me. But he was on NBA TV. Here's what he had to say about the Kevin Durant trade.
I really like what they got, but now they got championship experience over there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, KD as a champion, right?
VanVleet.
And then you got VanVleet. I mean, these two guys, you know, have been champions in the NBA. And then you have a championship coach, even though he didn't win in Boston, but he's coached in the NBA Finals. So when you look at what Houston has put together, they got all the pieces. They got everything to make it right. I love the deal, but I also love it for KD, and I also love it for Ime. Again, these are two of my favorite people.
So you're torn because you're.
I really wanted.
It was a hot and cutting controversial take that he was giving that you have to be disgusted with yourself for liking. I mean, he just kind of pointed out some pretty surface level stuff. He brought up the championship DNA or at least championship experience of a lot of these guys in a way that that I hadn't heard from anybody else. So I think you have to give him extra credit for that.
I wanted Isaiah Thomas to hate this deal. I disagree with almost everything Isaiah Thomas has done as an executive in the NBA. I don't need the guy who makes all the moves. He should have been. This is the one guy who should have been operating in George Costanza fashion when he was a GM in the NBA. He should have done the opposite of everything that his brain told him to do when he was the GM of the New York Knicks back in the day. Like, he was bad. I don't like hearing that he likes this deal. Had Isaiah Thomas come on and told me all the reasons this deal wasn't going to work, I'd have been like, all right, well, that's Isaiah. Nothing ever worked for Isaiah back in the day. Fine. If he thinks
he's the opposite of the Baltimore Ravens in that when the Baltimore Ravens do something, you think, oh, my team should have done that.
He's the opposite.
Like, I was cool with the Texans not getting Jair Alexander.
Yeah.
Really, really cool with it. Yeah.
And then
when the Ravens got him, I thought, oh, crap. Man.
Yes. It's a perfect analogy. Yes, that's exactly. Yeah.
He's the opposite of the Ravens.
He's the bizarro Ravens is what Isaiah Thomas is. Yes. And so I don't like that he liked this deal. I needed Isaiah Thomas to hate this deal to sleep well at night. I mean, I think I'll be okay, but still, oof, yuck. What's the biggest thing that scares you about this deal? I mean, you and I have both been very, very hot on this thing today. We both love it. What's the thing that scares you the most?
I mean, I think Isaiah Thomas would probably have this take as well. It's a pretty simple one. He's going to be 37 years old, and he's missed serious time in three of the last four seasons. There's things that cushion that for me a little bit. For one, he's played a lot of minutes in those games on a struggling team this past year. The Nets trying to finish it all up or do whatever. Like, they, in the last several seasons, he's played more minutes per game than he had when he was in his upper 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the Rockets are going to have to lean on him that much. They're going to be able to give him load management within games. This is just a much more complete team than the Suns are. But he's 37 years old, and it's not the performance that I worry about. It's, is he healthy and available to give you the performance that he's capable of?
Yeah, there were people. Look, he was. It was against the Rockets. At the end of the year, he suffered, I think he sprained his ankle. And so they shut him down for the rest of the year. So he missed seven games there. He was inactive for three games here, three games there. There was a six-game stretch. There was never any one thing this year where he was out for like 20 games or something like that.
Like as you pointed out, a lot of that was just, they were just playing out the string and we were hoping, remember they were annoyingly, they won a couple of games that kept them from,
them in the playoff hunt.
Them getting
into the lottery triggered, them being in the lottery is hugely important on multiple levels for this deal even happening. So so he missed some time this past year. People were making things up, though, yesterday. Like, the people on social media yesterday saying, well, he's been bad in Phoenix. Like, no, the team's not been good, but he's been very, very good, and he's not had a good supporting cast. I didn't like that. I'm like, you're making stuff up. If you're saying he's been bad, he's doing things still at this age that NBA players have not done ever in the history of the game in terms of his shooting. The other thing they were making up, Seth, was that he's missed 20 or 30 games each of the last 4 years. He did play 75 games two seasons ago.
Yeah.
So he played 62 this year, and he played 75 2 years. That's the most recent two seasons. He's averaged around 70 games or so.
Yeah. So that, but he is still also turning 37.
Yeah.
The age, the only reason that age concerns me is that it does, you get more injury prone as you get older. As far as his actual performance, yeah, anybody saying that he hasn't been good just is lying. They're just flat out lying or talking out of their butt. He's still he's the second best shooter in the league right now.
Yeah.
He's just, or with true shooting percentage. Like, he's still very, very effective. And so as long as he's healthy, being as good a shooter he is at a 7 foot height is a game that obviously has aged very well, and it's going to continue to age. So it's just the propensity for injury as you get older is the biggest thing.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not dismissing it. Like, I know there's a good chance he's going to miss games this year for load management, if nothing else, and probably some dings here and there. I just, the narrative that gets created that he's missing like half the season each of the last 4 years, just it's not true. Well, Colin, what did you want to ask us?
No, I was just kind of curious, like, because I mean, it looks like that it's just going to be a 1 year thing with KD. But how would y'all look at the deal if he is extended?
I think. Well, I need to see what the numbers look like. I don't think it's going to be a 1 year thing. I think it's going to be a multi year thing. Ultimately, they just can't. They can't do the extension right now because the league year needs to start. So I think it's going to be, if it ends up being a 1 year thing and they win a championship, then so be it. I'd give up plenty. The championship trumps everything. That's my biggest concern, Seth, that Colin brings it up. I'm actually more concerned about what a contract extension looks like than I am with the medicals with Kevin Durant. I think they'll manage around that, and I think the goal will be to have him healthy in April. If he ends up getting 2 years, $112 million, that is a lot of money for a 38 and 39-year-old.
Well, and that's where one of the things with Fred VanVleet is that the team and Fred VanVleet have been in contact. Like, they pushed his – he allowed his option to be pushed back, and I'm guessing part of it was at least because they need to be able to figure out exactly how to give Kevin Durant an extension, and Fred VanVleet can sign a structure the deal in such a way to help make that possible.
Yeah.
So everything that they were doing – to soften the landing or to make it an inviting spot for Kevin Durant. I feel like Fred VanVleet was part of that. And because that's one of the biggest salary chunks they have to figure out.
Yeah.
I'll be surprised if it's just 1 year.
Well, and they pushed it back to June 29th. So that's another, I guess that's another date to keep an eye on for the Rockets is sometime, which is a week from yesterday, sometime between now and then, we should expect to hear something from the Rockets, either exercising Fred VanVleet's player option, which I would be shocked. I think it's more likely that it's a multi-year deal with lower dollar amounts, maybe even structured like Steven Adams, where I think Steven Adams is making 14, 13, and 11 in the three. Like, it's a descending contract as you get these guys on the payroll where the numbers are going to be going up for a lot of guys here. Fertitta's going to be spending a lot of money, man. A lot of money on luxury tax. They're going to be pushing that second apron that everybody talks about, where once you get over that, it really gunks up what you can do as a team. So, going to be fun, though, man. Going to be fun. All right, we have not given the Astros much shine today because it's sort of Kevin Durant day here with this trade. It's the latest in just a series of huge trades involving Houston teams. But let's get to the Astros from over the weekend. The Astros take 2 out of 3 from the Angels. There's no American League teams coming up this week, but in some ways, is this the biggest week of the season coming up? They're off today. It starts up tomorrow. We'll discuss coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Karam Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne it down in the hole now, 0-2. And hits the ball well. There is a multi-hit game for Jeremy Payne. He hits one to the wall. Luis Guillorme being waved around third. Here comes the relay throw by Newman. And safe at home plate. The ball gets away from Ohapi with a head first slide. Astros take a 7-5 lead. Pena ends up at third.
That was good seeing Jeremy Pena get a big hit. Boy, Guillorme was he was leaking oil coming around third base there, Seth. I was getting nervous with Guillorme.
That's what you get with a lovable kind of rotund infielder.
Yeah,
it makes some incredible plays. at third base and just does some athletic things. But when it comes to actually just striding it out, that his body type works against him.
Do you think, does he have a body type? Do you think like if he got with the right personal trainer, he could, he's 30 years old now.
I think he's got an unfortunate body type where it looks like he's chubbier than he actually is.
Okay.
I don't know. When I saw him, when they first brought him up and they were showing clips from spring training and he was just wearing his batting practice jersey there, it didn't look as bad. He just needs to ask them to allow them to wear his jersey untucked.
Yeah, maybe so.
It's hard. Yeah, I feel like, he's not. I don't think he's got a weight issue. I think he's probably exactly the weight he needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, he's been hanging around the big leagues for this is his eighth season, sort of. Hanging around the fringes. Maybe he's cool just hanging around the fringes of the big leagues, man. You know?
Yeah, that's true. I guess I should. It's not like he's a multiple-time All-Star and that's his perfect body
weight.
He might be served better by seeing how it goes 15 or 20 pounds lighter.
That's what I thought when I'm watching him because he was chugging around third base and then he flopped into home. And if the throw had been on target, he might have been out. And I'm going, man, if I was hovering around the fringes of the big leagues, and especially when you're – When you hover around, it means you go back and forth from the minor leagues to the major leagues. And, boy, when you talk to people who spend time in the minor leagues and then you come up to the big leagues, even for a couple of starts,
yeah.
I think Brian McTaggart might have had a piece when he does his newsletter there where he, I can't remember if it was him or somebody else, but talked to some of these guys who had been bouncing back and forth from Sugar Land to the Astros, and they gush about the hotel accommodations and the food. And boy, I don't have to carry my own bag onto the flight. And you think that might be incentive enough to, you know, just go get on the treadmill for an hour a day or something like that. Just to ensure that you're at the big leagues.
Who knows?
To each their own.
Maybe he actually does battle it and he would normally be like 20 or 30 pounds.
Maybe so, yeah.
The beard doesn't. I feel like the beard makes him look pudgier than he is too.
Without question.
You can be a pretty lean dude, but if you have a big bushy beard,
it doesn't
look like it. People, there's a cognitive dissonance there.
Yes.
Where your mind doesn't acknowledge. Like even like Dallas Keuchel was a pretty lean dude, but because of his beard, you don't necessarily think of him that way.
No, you're right. You're right. Here's Joe Espada. The Astros took two out of three in each of the spots. They took two out of three in Sacramento. They took two out of three against the Angels. Here was Joe Espada, Astros manager, yesterday, capping the road trip.
We never out of a game. Long 13-game stretch. And this guy's the fight till the end. So proud of this group. You guys hear me say that all the time, but just they never quit. Our bat, Gusto, I thought it was a good start, better than what that line shows. I thought he threw the ball really well. Aside from those two homers, I thought he six strong innings, and our bullpen came in and shut the door. Really, really great effort.
Okay, they split against the A's. They played four. They split. I said they took two out of three. They haven't lost a series in a long, long time. They've had a few splits of four-game series.
Yeah.
But if it's been a three-game series, they've been taking two out of three. I mean, they've just been steady building, Seth, building that lead in the AL West.
I think the biggest from this weekend is you start to see a couple of where the flies in the ointment are with the starting pitching.
Yeah.
We had that nice stretch where all the young pitchers or the journeyman types were giving you really good and solid performances. And then you'd come into this week where Brandon Walter gives up. Did he give up eight runs?
Seven runs in six innings, yep.
He gave up seven runs in six innings, and then Gusto really struggles yesterday. Goes six innings for you, but you can't rely on this Astros team to put up eight runs every time one of your pitchers struggles.
No.
So you started to see a little bit of like, all right, let's at some point, Arrigetti hasn't started throwing off a mound yet, so you're at least a month out from Arrigetti most likely. The most likely guys to return anytime soon are Javier and JP France. Luis Garcia, he's at least a month out. So really it's up to can JP France or Christian Javier be a shot in the arm for some of the starters?
Here are the updates on those two guys. Then I want to get to Espada on Gusto. But Lance McCullers, we should add him as well.
Oh, yeah.
Played catch over the weekend. Seth, he played catch.
We know delightful.
You know how I love the updates when they're playing catch.
Yeah.
I love the updates when they're doing things that I could do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're playing catch. I'm like, I can play catch. That's not a big update. He is expected to throw off a mound today, Lance McCullers.
Mm-hmm.
Arrigetti could throw from a mound. You mentioned him on Tuesday for the first time since he suffered that freak hand injury in Seattle. So, yeah, we're getting a little closer with some of these guys. You know, Lance and Arrighetti are the two that aren't coming back from Tommy John surgery, so I just inherently feel better about both of those guys than I do all the other shoulder and elbow guys.
The only thing I worry about with Arrighetti is because it's a broken hand. You never know about the strength and the feel and everything. Like, it's not as simple as just coming back from some bone breaks. But, right, hopefully, I say should be pretty straightforward. And meanwhile, Yordan's still out with his broken hand.
Injury.
As the Astros signed John Singleton to a minor league contract. Lefty. Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Nope. Everything's going to be fine, right, with Yordan? Yeah. Okay.
No, a lefty who's pretty good against righties last year, but was abysmal against lefties last year. There may be people that had not heard that. Jonathan Singleton is back in the organization. Signed a minor league deal. His wife did a little Twitter video yesterday about saying that they're back, you know, where she was started the video in some shirt, and then boom, poof, she's in an Astros Singleton jersey. So she's very excited to be back with the organization as well. Going into Sunday, Astros had 171 plate appearances by left-handed hitters this season. The Angels had the second least with 331. Every other Major League Baseball team had over 700. So, I mean, the Astros are depleted on that side of the plate without even with Yordan Alvarez, they don't have a ton of competent lefty hitters in this, team.
Because that's the part where it's not just Yordan's production as a hitter and even how he traditionally helps you, the rest of the lineup just by being there, but just by virtue of teams not being able to basically tell all their left-handed pitchers to take a break during this series, that you could hopefully start to get the best possible version of some of the other guys in the lineup.
Here was Espada talking about the bats helping Ryan Gusto yesterday.
Huge, and that's the kind of the character and of our team. We're not gonna let up. We're going to fight till the end, and that's another, you know, come from behind win. Like, we know how to do those things, and it's hard to describe. There's so many qualities I see this team has that we always find ways to grind through things and find a way to win games.
They're stepping up big time in weight class this week. Their last handful of series, again, they haven't lost this series in almost a month, maybe. But they're facing the Angels, a 500 team. They take 2 out of 3. They split with the A's, not a very good team. They did sweep the Twins. The Twins are a mediocre team. They took 2 out of 3 from the White Sox, one of the worst teams in baseball. Cleveland, mediocre team, 2 out of 3. Pittsburgh, bad team, 2 out of 3. The Rays, this is a big step up. They haven't played any. They have not played a team that's even close to the Phillies and the Cubs in about a month now.
No, this honestly, the month of July is starting. I'll start right now, like heading into July. You got Philadelphia, you got the Cubs, then you get a breather versus Colorado, and then it's right into the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And Cleveland and Texas and Seattle. Just either divisional opponents or really, really good baseball teams. So this is going to be a fun month, Sean.
It will.
This is a month that you and I are going to remember.
Yeah.
All right?
I thought the game on Sunday was fun. You were scared and nervous. I like hearing that you're going to have some fun watching these games.
I did not enjoy it. I don't like when the Astros get a big lead, them squandering the lead, and then building up another lead and then squandering it. I don't like seeing Josh Hader give up a home run.
I don't either.
There's so much that as impressed as I am by this team, I could tell my foundation, it was not as stable as I thought it was. All the reasons where you wonder, how the hell are these guys actually winning baseball
games?
No,
it's true.
That was very much front and center in my brain yesterday.
Do you think Mauricio Dubon's 4 home runs over the last few days is a sustainable thing to win baseball games?
It's not. Okay, for one, I think very few people dislike Mauricio Dubon for the way you curiously do.
What do you mean?
But no, I don't think he's going to necessarily be a... Power, yeah.
He's a little corny in the HEB commercials. That's all. I like him plenty.
You think he's corny in the HEB commercials?
I do. I think he's supremely corny in the HEB commercials.
But it's just in a refreshing, innocent type of way.
Yeah.
He's a full-grown man that has the heart and spirit of an altar boy. He's just pure. He's pure, and that's what you hate about him.
He's very young looking. That is true. It was very. It was jarring watching him hold his son on Father's Day. I'm like, what is this 11-year-old
like this teen father
doing holding
what is
his
he
baby?
Doing these kids these days, they just wrap it up, man.
I heard that the kids are having less sex these days. Obviously not Dubon. Here's Joe Espada on. I like to call him Mauricio Dubon's, you know, like Barry Bonds. Here's here's Joe Espada on Mauricio Dubon's two bombs yesterday.
Doobie West Coast power. We might have to make a T-shirt out of that one. You know, great swing. You know, he's rolling right now. He's seeing it well, confidence. He gets barreled to the ball. We know how when he gets going like this, he could go a long stretch of getting a ton of hits. But now it's like power too. So now I got to hear about this power surge on the plane.
That's a good problem to have, man.
I think with Dubon, you know what? You know, in the circle of trust.
Yeah.
I don't know when we went away from this, but we used to have a Mariznick designation.
I was thinking about it the other day.
Where you rewarded a guy for his defensive prowess and personality.
Yeah.
And Mariznick had that blend of just looked like the all-American kid out there running around making plays in the outfield, even though he wasn't much at all at the plate.
Great hair. He had great hair,
right,
too.
Great hair. Yeah. Mauricio Dubon does not have the doesn't have that team beat type of look or vibe to him that Jake Mariznick did. But he's lovable for other reasons.
Yeah.
I feel and he's in the 97th percentile in terms of run value. You know, and he's not doing it at just one position or just in the outfield the way Mariznick is doing it. Dubon does it all over the place.
Yeah,
we're going to have to next circle of trust, we got to consider whether to give Dubon the Mariznick designation.
He's got four home runs in his last six games as well. I mean, he's basically just he is a massive power source.
I'm never gonna look. We've seen stretches of this before with him.
Yeah,
it's in him. We know that it's in him.
Yep.
You don't depend on it. He won't make the whether or not he continues this surge that he's on.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a criterian for putting him into the circle of trust.
No,
it'll be the Mariznick designation.
Hey, last thing from Espada yesterday. Brian Abreu came in and got a massive strikeout of Mike Trout at the end of the seventh inning.
Yeah, that punch out to Trout. Not easy to make Trout take swings like those. I think Gusto did that today, too. You know, anytime you get Mike Trout coming to the plate, you're on the edge of your seat because how good he is. But we were able to make pitches and execute today.
He was trash in this series, Mike Trout. He was 1-for-11 with 6 Ks. He was bad in this series. I wanted to play that, though, because I was a little mean to Brian Abreu on Friday on social media. When he loaded the bases and he needed a Myers diving catch. Like Brian Abreu has been trafficky all year long. His walks, hits per innings pitched does not match what his ERA is right now. And I said on Friday when he was giving me the type of anxiety you were experiencing yesterday, Seth, I felt that way on Friday during probably because Hunter Brown lost a win because the bullpen blew it. Yeah, they eventually won the game, but they, you know, I think it was King gave up a home run. So I was mad at the bullpen already. When Abreu loaded the bases, I said, this guy is the worst pitcher with an ERA under 2.5 that I've ever watched in my life, which may or may not be true, but I tweeted it. The results were surprisingly split. There were a lot of people that agreed with me. They're like, man, he's way too much of a tightrope act out there.
It is. It's a tightrope act. That's how it feels. And there's I think with relievers, I overlook a lot of stuff where I'm okay if they're trafficky. Yeah. I'm okay if they just flat out get the job done.
Yeah.
It's just that the problem is when they don't get the job done, it feels so much worse than sometimes a guy who's a strikeout artist that gives up a few home runs or something.
Yeah.
Because it's not as long and drawn out. That's the problem with it. I understand it. I don't agree with you, but I understand.
Yeah.
By the way, Mariznick and Dubon, like offensively, pretty much the same.
Shockingly similar, yeah.
Yeah. The OPS of Dubon has an OPS of 678 in his career. Mariznick 666.
Oh, listen to the 666.
Now he's actually
Satan worshiper Jake Mariznick. Huh?
Dubon's Their on-base percentage is about the same. Dubon's got a .260 batting average as of right this moment, whereas Mariznick has a .228.
Yeah.
Mariznick's got a better slugging percentage, but it's all very close in
That's
all of
crazy,
these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My advice to anybody who's got offensive similarity scores to Jake Mariznick would be rent, don't buy. That would be my
what
advice.
Dubon? Dubon's going to be – I think Dubon might play 15 more years for the Astros.
He might. I mean, he's only 11. I mean, he could easily play till his late 20s for sure. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Monday. Let's circle back before we close out to Kevin Durant. What was his message to Phoenix fans? How would you feel if this were your star player getting traded away and this was the message to Phoenix? We will have that for you as we close out coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Karam Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, this is a fair question. What's Sean's deal with athletes in commercials? Dubon, the OKC guys, they aren't supposed to be Emmy-worthy. They aren't actors. They're supposed to be corny. There's levels of corniness, though, and I'm probably being a little unfair to Dubon. The thing that cracks me up about Dubon is just... like in the HEB commercial where they sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," but with HEB lyrics.
Yeah,
he legit sounds like somebody who's like really trying to show off his pipes in
That's
that commercial.
What he does. He tries. He's gonna give it his all. Sean.
I know. This is a me problem. I'm admitting this. This is a me problem. No,
that
no
would
question.
Be hard. You know what always impresses me when an actor does intentionally bad acting in a movie. I'm always impressed because it's. You know what I mean? Because, okay, so an actor plays a part where that character is a bad actor.
Yeah.
So they're doing some role or something. Where I feel like it's still out there that that's you being a bad actor.
Right.
At your chosen role. So likewise, if I were a pretty good singer and I got on a commercial, I think I would try as hard as I could to give it like I was at the state choir competition or something.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it, even though I know that it's not genuinely good, like I'm like pretty good by, you know, normal people standards. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I would be like Dubon. Luckily, I'm a horrible singer. So I could give it my all and it would be funny because I was so bad.
You got some good bass in your voice, though. I'd imagine
I think I'm basically tone deaf.
Okay.
My voice, you would think, oh, if you could, it should be a good singing voice.
Used properly, yeah. Like if you were if you were doing singing Elvira, you would be good at the giddy up, boom, bop, boom, bop.
I can croon pretty well. I can't just actually sing.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
My natural sexiness helps in that regard, too.
Big time.
The charisma just seeps out of me.
No,
yes.
I get it. I get it.
Andy loves it when I croon.
What is Seth's greatest quality? His crooning, of course.
Yes.
All right, here's Kevin Durant. This is at the Fanatics Fest that took place over the weekend. He found out while doing a Q&A with Kay Adams that he was being traded to the Houston Rockets. Shortly thereafter, they did a one-on-one interview, and Kay Adams asked Kevin Durant, how dangerous will the Rockets be this coming season?
We shall see.
Kevin, how dangerous? What do I need to know?
It should be a solid team. I mean, they were 150-plus games last year, played a great season, but all this stuff takes time and work and effort and execution, so we'll see what happens.
It almost feels like Kay Adams is like, not viral enough, KD, not viral enough. Give me something.
Yeah. Come on.
That was the
we're
right
trying
answer.
To make social media noise here.
Yeah.
That is the right answer. No, and I think, honestly, it's, Durant, for all of the times he gets in mix-ups on social media and everything, I'm curious how many people don't want Durant just because they dislike him. As a you've disliked them as a guy you're cheering against, or you just don't like something he said publicly, or what have you, because that's where the transition is a little bit slower. I mean, all I would say to you is, hey, listen, you found a way to cheer for Dwight Howard for a few years, and there was that was a job. You had to grit your teeth. Get ready for a long day's work. Be sure you ate your breakfast that morning. I'm going to figure out a way to like Dwight Howard. Kevin Durant, it's far different than that, I think. Because Kevin Durant, for whatever reason you might dislike him, once he's on your team and once he starts playing just the way he's played the last few years, it doesn't have to be anything different than that.
Nope.
I think it's going to be really hard for you to hold that grudge.
Okay, this is I like this angle because, and we're going to play Kevin Durant talking about Phoenix in a second, but as long as we're on this, Seth and I did a segment earlier in the show where I had compiled all the former All-Stars that the Rockets had picked up in trade or free agency going back to Dwight Howard. Yeah. There were about 10 of them. Admittedly, a majority of them were guys that either got picked up during the down years for themselves, got picked up during the down years for the Rockets, or Fred VanVleet was a one-time All-Star, so he technically is on this list. The ones that Kevin Durant is on the same comparison plane on would be Dwight Howard, back in 2013, Chris Paul back in 2017, and then Russell Westbrook 2 years after that in 2019. You brought up Dwight. Like, what was our hatred or likability? Like, what was our scale as to how much we liked or hated each of those three guys as they were coming in here compared to Kevin Durant? Like,
I was excited about all of them. I was most excited about Chris Paul, mm-hmm. partly because that was at a time in the league where it seemed like the rest of the league was saying, well, let's just weather this storm with the Warriors and see what happens. We don't need to be making any bold or aggressive moves. No. Morey just flat out said, well, nope, let's do it. And also, but immediately you had the question about, all right, well, how are you going to have two ball-dominant guards? And they figured out a way to make it work, basically by having an A squad, a B squad.
Yeah.
But I was excited about that. Dwight Howard, it was kind of just some trepidation about just how much of an influence could he make and what was it going to be the fit with James Harden. Russell Westbrook, I was similarly skeptical about. None of those, and maybe it was just because James Harden was a hard guy to... Like, how do you fit into James Harden's offense?
Right.
It's you stand around and wait
until
there's 3 seconds left on the shot clock. I feel the best about the Durant trade in terms of, wait a second, this is too simple.
Yeah.
You plug him in and the things that you've been missing, the half-court offense, the ability to space the floor somewhat, actual genuinely good shooting, all of these things kind of just fall into place, and I don't want to overly simplify it. They still have to learn how to play together and everything. But I think I can say objectively, if I try as hard as possible to be objective, I feel the best about this one, despite my concerns about his age.
There's no fit questions with this one. Like, we know exactly how he fits, and the biggest difference is James Harden is not in the building. He was in the building for all those other three. Ultimately, it soured with all those other three. And I would say for me personally, Seth, if I had to go back and look, I'm guessing I threw my fair amount of shade at Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, and Russell Westbrook, and immediately became excited when the Rockets dealt for them just because of what it either I thought it made them a better team. I don't know if I thought Russ was going to make them a better team. I just knew that James didn't like Chris Paul at that point, but he liked Russell Westbrook. This is the same. Like, Kevin Durant has not, he's been on my way more towards my least favorite athletes than my favorite athletes the last few years. Let's go, man. Like, who cares? This guy is an elite scorer right now.
No, and with Kevin Durant, honestly, whenever I've ever gotten pissy about Kevin Durant or anything, I'm just trying to think back into the archives. It's mostly for off-court type of stuff.
Yeah, I've never said he's not a great player.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, it's not like devastating off-court stuff either. It's just they annoyed me on social media or whatever it might be.
Yep.
I'll gladly flop on that. Yes. With full transparency, I'll flop completely. No, Kevin Durant handles himself on social media just the way he should.
I won't go that far.
He's not overly sensitive. No.
I like having him on the team.
It will be a lot of fun for Rockets Twitter because it does... He creates a lot of stirs, and now you can aggressively jump on his defense squad whenever he does.
Him and the momster, Tari Eason's mom, man. That's just we're building up a Twitter army is what we're doing. Here was Kevin Durant at Fanatics Fest, asked by Kay Adams about message to Phoenix fans.
Last one for you. A lot of heartbroken Suns fans right now. What would you like to say? That's not true. No, literally, heartbroken Suns fan. Right over there.
I just felt like, they wanted me to go. So it's like, I'm glad we both, they got what they wanted and I got what I wanted. So we can move on and good luck to them going forward. And I always remember my time there, but we on something else.
You had said earlier, and I don't think I don't think you're wrong. I just don't know if you're right. Where they in Kevin Durant's answer might have been the organization, not the fans. She pressed him twice, asking specifically about fans, pointed to a fan apparently while asking
I think, for one, the situation has been now, though, people have kind of, they've swung that way. They feel like it's an inevitability. So, yeah, the majority of Phoenix fans probably did want him gone because they figured he was gone no matter what. Yeah. And let's see what we can get for him.
Yep.
But that is the other part of, for athletes who are online a lot, that's the way the algorithm works, man. It sends you and directs you to the most negative and the most agitating things to the point where athletes start to feel like that's the general sentiment of the fan base.
Yeah.
Because the loudest, Sean, I don't know if you've ever noticed this on Twitter, and this is not an Elon Musk take or anything. This was before Elon Musk ever took over. Like usually the replies to a tweet, the first few are ones that you vehemently disagree with.
Okay.
Or at least maybe the way I interact, yeah, it knows that that's what it's going to do. That's what's going to catch your attention. It's the opposition.
Oh, okay.
So likewise, with any athlete scrolling, and because you spend more time looking at the guy that insulted you,
yeah,
the algorithm figures out like, oh, this guy, without him even realizing it, wants to see people who are insulting him.
Yeah. Okay. I know, I had not noticed that. That's interesting. And now I'm going to notice it on every tweet. You may have unleashed a new version of me, Seth, on social media.
You end up interacting with the things that you despise way more than the things that you love, or a lot, yeah, of people do. So it just, hey, this is what you want, huh? Here,
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
More misery. More misery.
Why is everybody so angry? I didn't figure, yeah, that out.
You know what I've started to do? If there is something that genuinely agitates me, and it's like, you know, like I'll just say, not interested in this.
Oh, yeah, you can do that, yeah.
And then, so it's not blocking anybody, but it just kind of, I think for me it's worked. It's made a more positive experience.
It's like a broom. You can just kind of sweep them aside. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. As opposed to building like a fence in front of your door to not let anything in. Like, no, just get out of here. Luke Morrow is in for John Lopez. Reggie Atatula, of course, is here. Figgy Fig in the house as well. Gentlemen, how we feeling?
Doing all right. You know, my social media take is there with what Seth was just talking about. I believe that, especially since, you know, Elon Musk took over Twitter and, you know, cut a lot of the people on the back end side of it. Yeah. I think a lot of those buttons don't actually do things. I think that those are simply placebos. I think that they're baubles that, you know, appease us in a way that, yeah, you hand a baby like a fake remote control.
It's Dwight Schrute steering the ship.
That's where
wheel.
Like, it's always been a dumpster fire of, like just a garbage of toxicity, like, no matter who is owning Twitter. I do think that when you point out what he's cut out some, the one thing that I really, like, actually affects my job is Twitter used to be the best search engine for breaking news and everything.
Agreed.
And now it's as bad as Google.
Yeah.
Like, when you're trying to search for something current and now, I'm getting articles from 3 years ago, and it doesn't, like, that's, I wish that for any other of the issues or anything, that's the one thing I've noticed a definite difference in the way I handle it.
Yep. The thing that I used to use a lot, which, oh man, this is going to make me sound very narcissistic, Twitter would end up being kind of my own personal diary, and I would search my own tweets in order to go back and see, like, what did I think, especially at this given time, like in a game. Like, as a game progresses, okay, but before this thing happened, what was I tweeting about?
Yeah.
And it's so hard to search yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to, like, use the advanced search feature that still kind of exists, but you have to go and find it.
Yeah.
The advanced search feature isn't as good as it used to be either. It's really, it used to be awesome. Especially for what we do, it's really hard to find, like, okay, I just need stories about this specific thing, and it's all or nothing. You either, it seems to work in reverse. Like, whenever I'm looking for something that's breaking, I can't find it. When I'm looking for something from 10 years ago, all I get is the latest. Oh, and God forbid an athlete has the same last name as a pop star. Even if you put in, like, Durant, Rockets, something, something, half my results are Duran videos.
Hungry like the wolf.
Notoriously big on Twitter, Duran.
Yeah. Today, they're huge up there. Somewhere Simon Le Bon is like, why am I trending? What's going on? Luke, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Hey, yeah? Of all days to be in, today's a good one.
This is a pretty big day, man. Yeah. I was thinking, we'll talk more about this tomorrow maybe, but like the amount of big trades around sports, like over the last 5 or 10 years that Houston has been a part of, is a disproportionate amount. Like, across The NFL, MLB, you know, MLB, it's been Astros making trades at the deadline. The Texans, you know, Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, and then whatever they've been doing. And now the Rockets, you know, over the last 10 years, as Seth and I have been talking about, that's we're very lucky. We probably have a disproportionate number of big transactions like that, I think.
Part of it helps having Daryl Morey around for a lot
yes.
of that era.
Casario. So, yeah,
Never mind.
Nice.
I don't even get the guess.
It's time for our show to be over.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so
wait before you go.
Crosstalk brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing.
Got to do that.
Question of the day
Yeah, question of the day today. Obviously, the NBA Finals were yesterday. That seems like a kind of an afterthought now, which is a weird thing. Typically, the NBA is almost works on like a pseudo moratorium where we don't actually do business until the finals are over, and that's over.
That's off.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously, big game that happens, and one of the, you know, big story points in that is Tyrese Halliburton tears his Achilles in the course of it, which maybe that affected the way that this thing swings. But for Brian Windhorst, after the game, he was saying that that injury affected him more than any other that he's seen.
Like emotionally it affected
yeah,
him.
Yeah, and I did not see that necessarily, but that got me thinking, what injury affected you most? Whether maybe it was a personal injury, but also maybe it was a sports one that you saw and witness, like which one affected you most is our question.
The one for me, like just purely, not emotional like Windhorst is talking about, he probably knows Tyrese Halliburton, so there's a personal connection to some degree. Like for me, the one that hurt me the most as a sports fan, because I thought, wow, my team is about to do something huge, is Chris Paul pulling his hamstring against the Warriors. Like that'll be one that I will never get over. There's certain things in sports, whether it's a play my team made or didn't make, or whatever, or injury like that. That's one that I will never, ever, ever get over as a Rockets fan.
I can remember to this day, I was driving down in League City to Target. So driving east on whichever road that is, can't remember, League City Parkway, to Target out in Kima. And on the radio, this is as we're celebrating the 2017 World Series. I heard that Deshaun Watson had torn his ACL.
Yes.
And it was just so weird because everybody was so psyched about the World Series and everything. And Deshaun Watson was having this phenomenal rookie season.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, boom, they're like 180 degrees in the opposite direction.
Yes, yes. We went 24 hours without playing the victim as a city.
Yeah.
It was really fun to not be the victim for a change. And then Deshaun tears his ACL. It's like, see?
Oh, yeah. And I remember I went on with Jim Miller I was doing an interview while I was walking around in Target with Jim Miller on Sirius NFL about the Deshaun Watson injury.
We were at Twin Peaks, man. We were at Twin Peaks in the Woodlands, and Ted Johnson showed me his phone. Like, nope. Here you go. And that was back when the blue check mark meant something. So there was no scouring of the internet. Like, nope, he's showing me Ian Rapoport saying Deshaun Watson has a torn ACL. That is factual.
Is it better? Was it better then where you could just like see it and know instantly?
Or
is
100%.
Because now I think there's also something terrible in seeing some news and being like, I can't immediately start the grieving process. I have to go dig through slop for a little while to make sure that it's right.
And that sucks.
It felt almost like I was having my first child and the baby is born and I'm so excited. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, didn't expect my baby boy to be Asian, but okay, apparently he is.
That's
so
what it was like.
I got a lot to process here for a moment. Yep. Yeah.
I remember the other injury that really affected me was a game in the 2021 season where Texans game where I think it was against Seattle where Kamu Grugier-Hill went down in a heap with a traumatic, horrible, gruesome knee injury, got carted off the field, had Jack Easterby come over and put hands on him.
Yes.
And then he was at practice on Tuesday.
The healing power.
that might be my favorite injury ever.
That was the dumbest thing of that incredibly dumb era.
Towel over his head.
Everybody acted like
him.
I thought it was a spinal injury or something.
Right, right.
Everybody was like, everybody was silent. The whole team was out on the field praying around him.
God.
Turned out to be no big deal. Yeah.
That 2021 team. Fever dream.
If you can't be good, be interesting, right?
Yeah. Well, they were, or for the right reasons, be interesting.
Fair.
David Culley, head coach. Fascinating specimen. Yeah. All right, we're done. We are out of time. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you, and I promise tomorrow I will not blank on James Harden's name.
Is that who?
Some way.
There's some dude that used to play here.
Yeah, my brain was gone. I was like going back to the, and I'm like, I might have had a stroke this morning. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't come up with James Harden's
name. I was sad you couldn't even come up with a clue where I could play the guessing game we always do. That would have been kind of funny. The guy with the beard. I'm like, James Harden?
You know, like, and I just said his name when we were talking about bad singing in those commercials and everything. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Payne and Pendergast, we are done. We're out of time.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.